DC sports fans start their day with 106.7 The Fan's Sports Junkies.
Let Jaden cook.
With Commanders Talk.
They were 60 minutes away from the Super Bowl last year, and they're better this year.
And a lot of fun.
You're acting like I haven't been embarrassed in my life before. Right.
Every morning from 6 to 10.
I thought I handled myself with incredible maturity.
If you missed it live, listen to 106.7 The Fan's Sports Junkies on Apple Podcasts, Spotify.
They're listening to everything you do.
Or wherever you get your podcasts.
What to expect from the Dogs on Saturday. We're live at Flower Branch inside of Ticketmaster Studios. Raheem Morris, our head football coach, is going to join us in the 3 o'clock hour here on Dukes and Bell. I'll tell you what I expect. I expect a hard-fought
what's your prediction?
Football game.
What's your prediction, Clubber? Pain.
Yeah, Clubber Lang. Yeah, exactly, Mike. I expect a hard-fought football game. But if you're going to tell me the Dogs are going to dominate, I'd love to see it. But I don't have that sense. Even in the years past, Mike, where they've been big favorites, you felt like, okay, they're just better than Tennessee. They're going to find right. a way. I still think Kirby's better than Josh Heupel. Don't get me wrong here. But right. I just haven't seen what I think I want to see to make me go, man, they're going to go up there and handle business.
Well, I mean, Josh has built an offense that, you know, I don't call it gimmicky because other coaches use that kind of style. But, you know, you can go and you can beat, you know, if you got, you know, a similar type opponent, you can beat him. You know, a guy who's Alabama, and that's, you know, what made it so exciting for Tennessee fans to beat Alabama last year. Maybe Saban wouldn't let that happen. I don't know. But Georgia, you just feel like they've got athletes that can handle that. Other teams don't. But you look at what Josh has done. I mean, it's exciting. But at some point, like Mark Richt, you've got to break through and you've got to stop the losing streak. It's 8 games. Yours is going for 9 years in a row. And that's what you and I were saying yesterday and off the air. You just feel that Kirby, like Nick, has built such a machine that, yeah, we've done nothing against two crap opponents. It's hard to gauge. But once we get up to Tennessee, boom, they come out of the phone booth. The S, in this case, a G for, you know, I guess, super G-man. Anyway, they go out there and the Dogs do their thing. But as a fan, you just haven't seen anything to even feel that way just yet, do you? It's a very strange, you know, sort of preseason or the 2 games that ramp up to the SEC schedule.
Here's the fundamental problem. Even if you're telling me the Dogs are playing their second and third team guys, they weren't as dominant as you expected. And in years past, when those second and third team guys came into the game, there was no fall off. This is where the depth is talked about in college football, where you go, hey, we're still pretty good, but we're not like 3 or 4 deep at any position. So the talent level isn't the same from my first 2 5-star guys that are on the field versus my second, third, or fourth team. That's all I'm saying to you guys. I don't disagree. We haven't shown a lot.
But you can even argue, just to interrupt for a sec, even the starters didn't look great against Austin Peay.
A
much smaller offensive line.
Totally agree.
Marshall just turned over half their roster, 3/4 of their roster. You look the same against them.
I asked Connor Riley yesterday about whether I should be concerned, we should be concerned about, you know, Gunner threw the ball 34 times. A dominant performance is 15 of 18 for 250, Mike, and 3 touchdowns, and he's out of the game. Like, that's what you expect in that kind of game. He was throwing the ball like they were down. He was throwing the ball like they couldn't move the football.
And
at one point, they ran 5 running plays. Big O, didn't we talk about this, Day-Day? 5 running plays before. If you guys didn't see this, if you didn't watch the Dogs, you were like, it's Austin Peay, they're going to kill him, and couldn't get it in the end zone. And you're going, wait a minute, what the hell is going on?
Right. So whether Kirby's using this as simply a extreme scrimmage, you know, where they're trying to work on specific stuff, would Bobo call the game the same way? We talked about the Marshall game. They won't be going for it on the wrong side of the 50 on short yards against Tennessee, I doubt. Right? But, I mean, against Marshall, you just feel like we're going to steamroll these guys. We're going to keep going for it. So that's why it's hard to understand just where Georgia is. Not saying they can't do all the things we just talked about and kick butt, but Tennessee looks like they're a little bit further down the road this year.
Yeah.
They've had a big atmosphere game at Mercedes-Benz, albeit against Syracuse, and when they played inferior opponent, they smoked them.
They smoked them. Here's Kirby talking about their new quarterback. His name's Joey Aguilar, guys. He went to App State, transferred to UCLA, and then when Nico went out there, he came to Tennessee. But he's got plenty of playing experience. Here's what Kirby said about him.
Went really efficiently. He's got great arm talent. He's a really good athlete. You can tell he understands the system. He gets the ball out quickly. He's been very accurate. You know, he's had some really well-thrown balls, a couple that they've dropped in crucial times. But he makes some good throws.
Yeah, I think he's going to be tested for the first time. I think it was Connor also said this is probably the best defense he'll face, you know, this season. And there's no debating that. But I want to see how this looks. And by the way, we talk about this, and I said, I think it was Day-Day or Mike, is this Georgia team built to come from behind? Because, you know, this is one thing we said. Usually they have such game control where you're in control of the entire situation. You never have to worry about, okay, we're down 14, Gunner. Now you got to make some plays. Now these stud wide receivers we brought in. And that is something else that I'm curious about. What if they go on the road this weekend? Atmosphere is, woo, okay, you know what? They're a little unnerved, Mike. They're down 10 at the half. I think it's going to be an interesting test if that plays out that way.
Again, I think that Zach Branch and Noah Thomas and hopefully, you know, Dylan Bell and Kobe Young, these guys, especially Zach Branch, are going to blow doors because you just mentioned it, you know, Tennessee, they can potentially get up there to other teams. I don't think that happens against Georgia's defense. Vols are missing two starting corners, Ricky Gibson and Jermod McCoy. Both guys, one guy's out for an extended period. That's Gibson, upper body injury. The All-American is coming back with a torn ACL. So they're not even knowing when he's going to come back. They're saying it maybe second half of the season. So don't you feel if you can protect Gunnar Stockton, boom. And we've got, again, if guys like Matthew Stafford are raving about Zach Branch, it's time to put him to work up there at Neyland.
Yeah, look, he's got stud, star, power, NFL kind of wide receiver stuff. The problem, though, Mike, is Gunner's been trying to be too perfect in some of these throws, which is why his numbers have not looked necessarily like they should.
So what does he need to do? Pull.
That's it. I agree with you. I think he can take advantage, and they can take advantage of those mismatches. But if you're trying to be too perfect, then you get caught up in your head about ball placement and when I should release it.
Right.
This is going to be an interesting game. One more thing from Kirby. We got plenty more dog talk coming along the way. We're live at Flyer Branch, guys. And as we said, plenty of Falcons conversation as well. Kirby Smart was talking about how you plan to play at Neyland. Didn't you talk about this in Guy Talk about the best stadiums or the noisiest
stadiums?
They're
saying, at least last year, the decibels, you know, they get the noise meter that they use at airports, and the Vols were louder than Jordan-Hare, were louder than all the other, even LSU last year, according to the nerds who were looking at the DBs.
Here is Kirby talking about how you plan to play there.
Your approach to your game planning is, you know, defensively and offensively, you have to think about that. And me being in this league for a long time, It plays a factor on the ability to execute when you're in an environment that maybe someone's never been in, and you have to be smart about what you're asking them to execute, because at the end of the day, that's what it is. Who can execute, who can block and tackle, and who can be physical.
Okay, and again, that could be silent counts, right? All these things we talk about when you're on the road, the crowd, especially early. If you take the crowd, if Georgia comes out and they blow doors, it's 21-0. It'll be quiet.
I heard Randy McMichael say that. It could go from very loud to – I've seen it. Because
quiet.
I've been up there. I was some of those 98 games that were just magical when they won the national championship with T. Martin. It's like you feel like the building's going to just fall apart underneath your feet. But it's been a while since they've had that kind of a vibe sustained. Look, they're hungry for this. When you got an 8-year losing streak, Georgia going for 9. Same thing again. And Georgia's been on the other end of this. That's why I always think about Munson, the hobnail boot call, you know, where Georgia finally turns things around and Mark Richt makes a statement and Philip Fulmer's reign over the Dogs ends.
It happens. And it's been happening a lot with Kirby at the reins. He you know, when you talk about playing in these road environments, though, and again, this is their first SEC game, this team's first SEC game. You can prepare all you want, Mike, it's until you get in there.
You know, I heard them, Steakhouse was talking about it with Drew the other day. You know, yes, it is neutral site games, but, you know, you're look at the games where you plug Gunnar Stockton in against Alabama, you know, against Texas at Mercedes-Benz.
Games.
Notre Dame in the Sugar Bowl. I mean, those are huge atmospheres, but it's still, to your point, it's not a 95% hostile crowd, you know, at Neyland Stadium.
No, and even the SEC Championship, it was 50-50. I mean, honestly, I shouldn't say that. It was probably 70-30, more Dog fans just because it's an easier trip. But you still had, you know, to your point, it wasn't everybody in the house is trying to boo you and they want you to lose.
It's not football time in Tennessee.
It is not. Hey, man, as we get to some other things that are going on, we're live at Flowery Branch. It's Dukes and Bell. Let's get to the Daily Download. It is the health of Drake London, a big situation as we are monitoring this here at Flowery today. Right AC joint shoulder sprain. He is expected and has been expected to practice. They are both apparently on the field. I say both as in him and Darnell Mooney, but we're going to talk to Raheem about this and ask him what he saw today and how he feels about it. It's just one of those deals, man. When you talk about our team, everything else looks like it's lining up in place, Mike, but this receiver core is already kind of decimated early in the season, right? Darnell didn't play last week. If you're telling me in week two we got to go to Minnesota and Darnell and Drake are out, it becomes a big concern.
And as we said, I know we debated whether or not Kadarius Hyde should have or could have caught that pass. I think Michael Penix puts it on the spot. He does get his route interfered with. But, you know, Kadarius Hyde is just lower on the pecking order, even though he did win the game for you against the Bucs last year. Your moneymakers are Darnell Mooney and Drake London. And then it's Ray. You know, now Pitts should be up there. Pitts should be 1A, 1B. And that's why I really think Pitts can have some success. And this is where, especially if Flores is throwing some crazy looks at you on the defense, ball comes out quick. Quick hits, get it to Pitts. Get the ball out. 1-2. You might argue that Penix is going to have as few seconds to get it out as he did against the Bucs up there on Sunday night.
Yeah, no doubt, man. I think this is something we will keep close tabs on, guys. And this may be, all right, because I don't think they're going to make an announcement. They don't have to.
D.C. sports fans start their day with 106.7 The Fan's Sports Junkies.
Let Jaden cook.
With Commanders Talk.
They were 60 minutes away from the Super Bowl last year, and they're better this year.
And a lot of fun.
You're acting like I haven't been embarrassed in my life before. Right.
Every morning from 6 to 10.
I thought I handled myself with incredible maturity.
If you missed it live, listen to 106.7 The Fan's Sports Junkies on Apple Podcasts, Spotify.
They're listening to everything you do.
Or wherever you get your podcasts.
This may be, hey, we'll wait until Sunday to really let everybody know where this is. And, Mike, I'm fine with that because, again, you got to give the opponent, and in this case the Vikings, something else to think about. But my guess is if Drake can play, he will play. That's where I'm at on this. It is right. A big developing story, guys, or as I like to say,
a developing story.
Hey, man, coming up, our offensive coordinator said something that was so good about our quarterback. Wait until you hear it next.
DC sports fans start their day with 106.7 The Fan's Sports Junkies.
Let Jaden cook.
With Commanders Talk.
They were 60 minutes away from the Super Bowl last year, and they're better this year.
And a lot of fun.
You're acting like I haven't been embarrassed in my life before. Right.
Every morning from 6 to 10.
I thought I handled myself with incredible maturity.
If you missed it live, listen to 106.7 The Fan's Sports Junkies on Apple Podcasts, Spotify.
They're listening to everything you do.
Or wherever you get your podcasts.